Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James with the rejection.
Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. It is Meltdown Monday, although by the time you guys are listening to this, it's probably Terrible Take Tuesday or even Wet Your Pants Wednesday. I am joined by Carter Rodriguez. The Cavs dropped their first game, their first home game, by 18 points to the Indiana Pacers. LeBron's first time losing a first game of the playoffs in his career. You're probably feeling pretty good, aren't you, Carter?
Yeah, I will say I'm like kind of glad that we gave ourselves a day to just process, because I think this would have been a lot angrier in a negative, like not like a everyone empathizes way, but like a these guys got to cool it way.
And like a Utah Jazz beat reporter after a player leaves. I think that would be the general vibe we'd be giving off yesterday.
Yep, I was pretty butthurt about the whole thing. So I'm glad I have a little distance. Now we can kind of dive in.
Now the healing can begin.
Yeah, until Wednesday when they reopen the wound. Are you nervous?
I'm definitely somewhat nervous. I want to give out a shout out. Oh my God, there goes my voice. I want to give a shout out to my buddy Mike, who pointed out very astutely that LeBron has kind of sucked with these early afternoon games. He's getting up there in age. I don't know if that's been mentioned at all this season, but when he does it,
season Justin, year 15.
So when he doesn't have his 10 hours to prep his body, it's possible that might contribute to why he didn't look so great coming out of the gate. The other thing is LeBron just typically uses game ones as a feeling out process. Even though it hasn't happened in a first round series before, it is something that we have seen in a game one before. I remember in 2015, they dropped game one to the Bulls. Didn't look very good in that game at all. And when you're the four seed, and they tend to play teams that you would have played in the second round. So that's kind of the situation that they've put themselves in here.
And also, I mean, you got to remember, last year they were CJ Miles' wide open mid-range jumper away from losing game one to the Pacers.
Right, but close win is also dramatically different than losing by 18.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's no way around it. This was worse. This is bad. But, I don't know, I alternate between being worried about the psyche of the team more than I'm worried about the build of the team. Is that
right?
Because they're not ever going to score 80 points again. That's just not going to happen. I'm sorry. There is a degree of
I'm knocking on wood.
There is so I think I wrote about this today in our Three Things We Learned piece for Fear the Sword. But there was a lot of, in the wake of that game, a lot of people are saying, listen, the Cavs hit their shots. They would have won that game. And then there's right. A lot of people who kind of bounced right back and said, listen, this wasn't, they lost by 18 points. It's not just a make or miss thing. And the correct answer, as always, or as most of the time, is right in the middle. Yeah, they have to shoot better, but they played like shit.
Honestly, I think they got lucky. I think their defensive effort was worse than the Pacers' point total indicated. Indy hit a lot of open shots, but they also botched a lot of opportunities. So I think it kind of does go both ways. I think losing Hill early on and Kevin Love getting dinged up in the opening minutes of the game also didn't do them any favors, because when LeBron's kind of being passive LeBron and you're having trouble getting into your sets, that's when you'd kind of hope that you'd be able to throw it into Kevin Love, and he was getting bullied by Thad Young. Like, he was just pushing him around. You could tell his stability wasn't there. He wasn't moving with the same confidence that we've seen from him. So that's something, hopefully it changes. Hopefully he's feeling a little bit better heading into Wednesday's game. I haven't seen a lot of concern talked about, but it was just kind of a perfect storm of things going absolutely terribly wrong.
Yep. I think we just got to talk about it, don't we? We have to talk about Jeff Green. Was it his worst game of the season?
I don't know if it was his worst game of the season, but it certainly stuck out a whole lot.
He played so bad, and like, they used him weird. Like, as Mike Zavin noted, like, they had him on like Thad Young for stretches. And it's like, what is he doing out there if it's not to go guard Victor Oladipo, because you don't trust anyone else to guard Victor Oladipo?
Yeah, that was pretty baffling.
It was just a weird coaching decision from Lou. And it's like, you know, we've gotten to this point where like, they're rolling with Jeff Green, or at least that was their plan heading into the playoffs. And I had kind of talked about it being like, listen, this is really a byproduct of them not being scared of anyone else and believing in themselves, that they can go with a not ideal lineup to prepare to play the Warriors. But like, maybe their margin of error isn't as big as we thought. I mean, I think the Cavs look,
or at least as big as they thought.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I'm completely with you there. We've talked about it before, but how teams go up against you in the regular season is one thing. When they have time to really kind of prep and game plan specifically for your strengths and weaknesses, it's a totally different thing. And they clearly exploited Jeff Green being on the floor on both ends. Some of that, as you said, has to do with how the Cavs chose to deploy him. Putting him on Thad Young was baffling, but they just completely ignored him. And when you didn't have George Hill to get you in your sets, and LeBron was passive for large stretches of the game, and Love isn't going, Jeff Green is just a complete liability out there.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think we might be overstating how well they schemed him out, because he also played bad. Like, it wasn't just...
Right,
like,
right.
It wasn't like he did the best we could have expected from him, but the Pacers just schemed him out of the series. Like, you know, like, because we see the Warriors do that all the time. It's like, yeah, that's as good as Joe Ingles can be. Like, they're just going to work him, you know, like, what or whatever. Just, like, pick a random role player. But, like, in this instance, he also played really poor, which makes it hard to adjust. I mean, in fairness, Tyronn Lue saw it. He played Larry Nance 30 minutes, and I think Nance did a good job in those minutes.
Yeah, and I think Larry Nance getting that many minutes, and I mean, he didn't have his best game. He still bobbled a few passes, and there
three
were
turnovers is too many for a guy who holds the ball as little as he does.
Right, and there were missed opportunities even when he didn't turn the ball over. But I think the amount of minutes he played and kind of the way that Tyronn Lue has been talking, I think there is a chance that we see him moved into the starting lineup. That wouldn't necessarily surprise me. The other frustrating thing is you kind of missed, like, you wasted a good JR game, or at least as good as you can expect from him, because he was actually hitting shots. I don't think he played well overall. I thought his defense was abysmal, but that wasn't exactly unique to him. But wasting a game where he was actually hitting his shots is frustrating, because I don't know how many of those are coming in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, even when he's driving us crazy, which he drove me a little crazy in that game with his, like, there would be times where they were setting, like, pin downs for him. He'd come off them to the top of the arc wide open, or at least with more than enough room for J.R. Smith to get a good shot off, and he just would attack Vic Oladipo, who can recover on a closeout better than just about any guard in the league. It's like, dude, that's not
right.
That's not the move, J.R. Like, you just got to pull there or keep it moving, but you can't attack him and then fumble into a step back. And my God, if I see that guy go behind his back one more time, like, has there been a less clean behind the back dribble that's employed more often than JR? That thing goes like, that's like the first time you try to go between your legs in a live action game. And you're like, oh, shit. Like,
well, I mean, I got handles, so I don't know what you're talking about.
When you were a kid.
Yeah, even then I was.
Born with a great handle. Proud of you.
Yeah, I was born with a great handle and a crazy athleticism. But I think one thing we need to make sure that we do is give credit to the Indiana Pacers. As I said on Friday's podcast there with Whitney, Indiana isn't a team that's going to let you coast for 30-plus minutes and then win it at the end. They play hard on both ends of the floor. I think they also disrupted the Cavs' rhythm to an extent offensively. Like, even if the result was an open shot, it wasn't coming the way in the same rhythm that they needed, and I think that disrupted the Cavs. They were really aggressive whenever the Cavs tried to get into a set. They were getting pushed back and initiating that about 3 or 4 feet further back than they were anticipating or what they were going for. So I thought the Pacers did a really good job. Victor Oladipo played out of his mind on both ends, and they definitely deserve credit. Like, in no way did the Cavs deserve to win that game.
No, they didn't. And your Cleveland Cavaliers, you might have noticed, not a lot of guys with super tight handles there. In that capacity, it is a tough matchup because they really got up into everyone's chest. And, like, even George Hill's handle isn't, like, right where you'd want it to be. It's not, like, an elite handle. Rodney Hood is.
And that was something the Cavs did in the past against, like, the Toronto Raptors. They didn't have guys that could dribble, so you just blitz the hell out of them. And you make mistakes, and it throws the shooters out of their rhythm. And we kind of saw that get used against the Cavs here.
Yeah, it was not ideal. I mean, Hood's handle is pretty choppy. Clarkson had a horrible game in his 20 minutes, completely invisible or forcing it and nothing in between. I don't know. I don't know how worried I am moving forward because I think the Cavs are just going to play a lot better. Like, yeah, there's some scheme issues that the Pacers are going to present, and I wasn't in the camp of thinking they were going to roll in this series. I would have picked Cavs in 5 heading in.
Right.
But competitive, because I think the Pacers are always competitive. Like,
and it still might be that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Or we might be in for a long-ass series.
Or a long-ass summer. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny.
Are we going to address the elephant in the room? Because that was the closest to 2010 LeBron that I've seen.
I didn't know if you wanted to go before, there, but yeah, it was uncomfortable.
Oh, no, I'm going there. As I said, it might be early game, typical passiveness from LeBron in game one, but I think game two is going to be illuminating because I think he's going to come out strong. I'm not of the belief that he's made up his mind, but that certainly looked like a LeBron that was in that position and in that mindset, because this was kind of that 2010 or 2014 Miami where, yeah, he had a triple-double, but he didn't exactly look engaged doing it. It's kind of the misleading triple-double.
Yeah, I was going to say that, you know, LeBron, neither of us are particularly large Russell Westbrook fans, as people may be aware. You a little louder than I. But this is as close to a Westbrook triple-double as I've seen in a while that just, like, felt empty. Like, it didn't feel... It was a game where his stats
The only difference between this and a Russ triple-double is Russ is trying to do too much, and this was LeBron doing too little.
Yeah, but it just felt like empty calories is my point. Like,
yeah, definitely.
And, like, I didn't think there was that much nutritional value to LeBron's performance. Like, obviously, he wasn't super efficient from the field. Obviously, got stripped a couple times. I don't know,
not
man.
A ton of turnovers, though, for 12 assists. I almost prefer when LeBron does have his 5 or 6 turnovers to his 12 assists instead of the 3 that he had, because typically that's him really being aggressive and trying to get things going and make things happen. And even when it doesn't work out, it still forces the defense to really move. And I didn't feel like he was manipulating the defense a whole lot.
Yeah, and this is something that you've made the point about a lot, is that this team is built to accentuate LeBron and nothing else. Really?
Yeah, like, it's a lot of guys that play well off of a star player, and LeBron is often that guy, and Kevin Love, who is the other guy that can kind of fit that profile was just, as I said, he didn't look right. He didn't look aggressive physically, and the team also didn't get him going. I mean, they got him three shots early on, which he missed. After that, he went 3 of 5, but he didn't get the ball a whole lot, and really was a non-factor there for a lot of the game.
Yeah, I don't know. It feels dumb to be like, LeBron, you have to do more. But like, also, I do think it's worth noting that the Cavs tried this offseason to remedy this. They got a bunch of guys who could get their own shot, that could run their own pick and roll. And if you'll recall, Justin, early in the season, they were outscoring teams with LeBron on the bench. And that was something that we really thought, okay, this is a good thing. But then all the LeBron lineups were just getting tanked.
And some of that might have been how easy the schedule was. And like even
against good teams, the bench units were doing okay.
Yeah.
I still don't read too much into that,
but yes.
Let me get to my point, which is that, like, they got rid of the guys who didn't play well with LeBron that might have been okay on their own for short stretches, and got guys who are exclusively good with LeBron for the most part. Clarkson can get you some buckets every now and again. Love can get you some buckets every now and again. Green can get you some buckets. But they all are LeBron supplements.
Yeah, I mean, Clarkson's the one where his night is basically independent of the rest of the team. Like, he can play well on his own or next to LeBron, or he can play horrible on his own or next to LeBron. It's just kind of, what Jordan Clarkson are you getting today?
Yeah, he's just on an island.
Yeah, I thought Rodney Hood kind of was in his own head. I mean, he was somewhat efficient, but he bobbled the ball a few times. I think the moment was a little big for him. And maybe that's something we have to remember, that a lot of these guys aren't as tested as the role players that they've had in the past. Like, a lot of these guys are, if it's not their first playoff action, it's their first playoff action in a while, or at least the first time that they're playing with real expectations at this time of year. So, I think there's a bit of an adjustment period. As I said, I do expect them to come out a little sharper than we saw in that game, because, as Rodney Hood said, you can't play much worse than they did on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, the Hood thing's interesting from the perspective of, like, I just don't really trust that guy yet. And like,
yeah, but he's the one that they need to get going.
Yeah, I don't trust him to hit a big shot when he's loading up for a three. Like, I don't watch that and go, oh, yeah. Like, nope. Like, you are just like, I hope he makes it. And that's not really what you want from your sharpshooting, too. But I do think
And it's funny because his form is nice. Like, they look good as they're in the air. So I'm still fairly confident on those, but I definitely know what you mean, where you're really willing that in.
Yeah, I wonder how much the Zach Lowe piece where he mentioned him being soft. I think that's, like, really primed me in a way that's, like, maybe not fair. But that's where you go wrong.
You read. I'm illiterate. I'll just listen to my podcast.
Yeah, I think that primed me.
Which he did. I think he did mention that on the podcast as well with David Thorpe. So I don't retain any information is probably the better way to put this.
That's great, Justin. Glad to have you here. yeah, I don't know. What did you think of the rotation overall? I mean, I was actually, like, a lot of people like, oh, you can't play 10 guys. I'm actually kind of fine with it, especially in this series. But it didn't. It's really hard to evaluate that game at a granular level when so much stuff went wrong.
Yeah, and I think that's a part of why Tyronn Lue has been so defensive with questions about the rotation, because especially when asked if he was able to play his best lineup, which I think in his mind involves Kyle Korver, who we only saw kind of a short stint from it, and then he wasn't able to play for the rest of the game. It'll be interesting to see kind of who gets moved into the rotation in the next game. I think if Korver's able to play, we're going to see more from him. I wouldn't be surprised to see a little more Jetty Osman.
So you think Jetty might be put into the rotation?
I think Jenny might be put into the rotation. I would not be surprised by that at all. They had some of their best stretches of the season with Osman in the rotation. So that would not surprise me. I know Lou hasn't been someone that's trusted young guys a whole lot, but he clearly has chemistry with those starters. And it makes me nervous because you're talking about another guy that has no experience on this stage.
Justin, he was born with ice water in his veins. If you'll recall his direct quote.
Yeah, and I also got a text from David Blatt telling me that he has a lot of experience in Europe. So a
lot of experience in Europe. That's future New York Knicks head coach David Blatt to you.
Oh boy. Speaking of other franchises that aren't in the playoffs, it's funny that Mitch Kupchak and Dwight Howard are with the same organization.
Oh, that hadn't even occurred to me because no one thinks about Dwight Howard anymore.
I know, but
got to be the most.
I just wanted to slip that in. I get really absent-minded, even in the depths of despair.
I remember I was listening to a Hannibal. I might have told you about this. I can't remember, but I was listening to a Hannibal Buress bit from like 7 years ago on one of his old albums. And he's talking about like gambling on sports, and like he's like has a bit about like how like, hey Dwight Howard, it really bothered me when you missed 12 free throws and blew my over bet or something like that. And I just thought, holy shit, like no one even thinks to make Dwight Howard jokes anymore. Like that's how irrelevant he is. That it was jarring to hear him referenced offhand in a comedy bit from like 6-7 years ago. It's depressing.
That is depressing. Speaking of depressing, Tristan Thompson.
Not in the rotation, but always
not
true.
In the rotation. I there was points in that game where I was like, well, he can't be worse, especially with how bad the defense was playing. Part of me was kind of wondering if they were going to go to him. But it does get tough to play him if you're not starting Larry Nance.
That's like, that's why I hate this green thing so much, Justin, is that it's like you're just limiting yourself for no reason. Like if you
have to cater to your stars, and Jeff Green is that star. He's that building block, and they need to sacrifice what would normally be a normal and healthy rotation by starting him.
Yeah, it's like you're just going out of your way. Like if you start Nance and want to go to Green early, that's easier than if the starting lineup isn't working. That's so much easier than, all right, so Green wasn't working, so let's get Nance in, but then you can't leave your starter on the bench for 30 minutes, so you can't get Tristan in. Like, Nance on the bench precludes Tristan from playing functionally, and it just feels like unnecessary. I don't know, man. It kind of drives me a little crazy because, you know, I know.
Oh, it drives me absolutely insane.
And I know Tristan hasn't been good. I think we both understand that, and that he's been up and down, but he's capable of having very, very good games still. And like to not even give him the chance after, I don't know, man, like maybe I'm being overly sentimental. Maybe I'm being like a little bullheaded here, but like dude was your starting center on a team that won you a championship. And like 2 years ago, like to just
I have an idea.
Cut him out of the rotation seems so short-sighted to me.
I have an idea, Carter, as a thank you to our friend, Matt Moore, who was excellent on the podcast last week. Every time we slander Jeff Green, you have to mix in an insult to J.R. Smith. So you ranted about Jeff Green. Now you have to be fair and attack J.R. as well.
Heaven forbid. Yeah. I don't know, man. J.R. is... I got a good J.R. gripe for you, Matt.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So we can, in the interest of being fair and balanced on a Cleveland Cavs fan
you
podcast.
Sound really sincere with that fair.
Yeah.
But continue.
Who gives a shit? JR, there was one play where he just completely died for no reason on a mediocre screen and let Darren Collison hit a wide open three. And I was like, hey, JR, maybe work a little harder. It's the playoffs.
Yeah, what the hell, JR?
It was a graze. Are you happy, Matt? Are you happy? Am I critical enough? Is my journalistic integrity strong now?
Don't mock him. He had a fair point. I thought it would be a funny bit, but now you're going from having a gripe with JR to making this all about Matt. Well, that's not fair.
Well, I thought it was funnier. I thought it was a funnier tack.
Yeah, might be. I don't know.
We love you, Matt. So
that's okay.
We're just joking.
All right. So do you see a rotation change? Or are you as bold as me? Do you sounded skeptical with the Jetty Osman thing. What do you realistically expect in your jaded opinion?
I don't know, man, because it's tough because Lou is, he's weirdly very reactive, but he's stubborn on certain things.
Yeah, he's grumpy.
He's just grumpy. That's actually a great way to put it. So, like, I think the whole world screaming at him to bench Green, like, I don't know how interested he is in doing that, but also we've seen him just, like, oh, you're not performing, it's the playoffs, get out.
Right.
So, I don't know. I think the more likely rotation move is starting Larry Nance. Do you agree or disagree?
I think so, too. I agree. I think Nance can bring a lot of things to this matchup. I think that
except
is
please
the
don't
logical
dunk move with your strong side hand with the only shot blocker on the court right there. What are you doing, man? Like, everyone was like, whoa, what a block by Miles Turner. But I'm like, he just put it right there for him.
Yeah, I mean, as
I was very annoyed.
As I previously alluded to my athleticism, that's a shot that I would, even I would be able to block. I'd be able to meet Nance at the summit there. So I totally get where you're coming from.
Yeah, that one was weird to me. I wanted to get that one. I didn't tweet about it at the time because I was just like, God damn it. But I was like, what are you doing going up with that hand? Like, that's just basic, like, attacking the rim 101. Because if he goes up with his left instead of his right, that's a poster.
Yeah, there were a couple Tristan-esque mistakes, whether it be bobbling passes or going up weird and awkward and getting blocked from Nance. But overall,
yeah,
I was
happy
it was
with
a pretty
play,
good game
to be
from
clear.
Him.
And I thought defensively,
relative to the rest of the team, he was less of a dumpster fire.
He had one of the best bigs from a best defensive games from a Cavs big in a while. I thought. I thought he was really active in passing lanes. He definitely fouled too much because he always does. But he did a great job on switches for the most part, baited guys into tough shots. I was pretty pleased with Nance in this game. And
I'm ready for lockdown Jose Calderon starting game two. Like, he's just going to put the clamps on Depot.
When George Hill can't play because the Cavs didn't call out a screen.
Because the Cavs can't be healthy.
And because the Cavs
which,
can
by
be
the
like,
way, that
hey,
Hill
George,
screen was
out.
That. Yeah, I don't know why George Hill's teammates wanted to kill him on that play. I think the whistle went just because he went down so hard.
Yeah, it was a clean screen, I thought.
Yeah, that was a completely clean screen. He just was
he's
not warned by his
rock
teammates. Yeah, that wasn't ideal.
No.
And very frustrating because that was game one of trying to play healthy with a full roster. But that doesn't really work out for the Cavs.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I almost wish the game two came sooner.
You don't want to marinate in the takes right
now?
Yeah,
just so we get the stench off. Actually, I've avoided the takes, man. I've been listening to all my non-basketball podcasts. I've barely been on Twitter the last day or so. It's been nice.
Yeah, I haven't done a ton, but, I mean, it's somewhat impossible to avoid. I mean, here, let's go to the ESPN NBA Cavs page. Let's see. Yeah, we got Stephen A. Blaming LeBron.
He's with us on that one, isn't he?
Yeah, there we go. Brian Windhorst, LeBron's future could be tied to Kawhi. I'm all about that. He's saying that he's coming over.
I like Brian Windhorst so much for his, like, every now and again, he just is like, I'm just going to throw out some reckless speculation. Because he's like such
Windy likes to gossip.
Yo, he's such a gossip. Like, he's a great reporter. When he actually is doing reporting work, he's like one of the best that the league has to offer. But then every now and again, he's just like, let's stir up some shit.
Wendy's truly the GOAT. So, yeah, we're speculating on a headline that was definitely not written by him because it's on a video.
Listen, Brian Windhorst has his fingerprints all over that ESPN page. Bite your tongue, sir.
That's definitely the way we want to go. Let's just assign all of that stuff to him without watching the video or anything like that.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about the Cavs anymore. Did anyone else in the playoffs catch your attention in a way that you did not expect things to go?
Not in a way that I didn't expect things to go. But holy hell, that Bucks-Celtics game was a March Madness game. Like, guards that can't dribble, like, the execution was dog shit. Few buzzer or big shots at the end made people think that it's a good game, but that was some terrible basketball. I didn't expect the Miami Heat to get rocked in that way. I was listening to Lebatard's show, and they came to the conclusion that this was the fourth time they played against Bellinelli on a different team, and he's lit them up every time. So that's kind of a funny trend.
I have such
nothing
super stunning other than the Pelicans handling the Blazers for most of that game.
Those frauds.
I think
those frauds team, in Portland.
Yeah, you're on team. The Blazers are frauds with me, which makes me feel
well.
Good.
I'm even more upset this year because I'm like, you know what? I'm pretty confident them heading in the second round. I think they're more. They're more for real than they've been in years past, even though I don't think they're that for real. And then those frauds just come out in game one.
Yeah.
Which now we're doing the classic overreaction to game one that people are doing about the Cavs right now. But this kind of suits my narrative, so I'm going to just blindly ignore that reality.
Did you see that the Raptors moved ahead of the Cavs on championship odds?
Yes! That's fantastic.
I mean, if you're looking to bet Cavs, I guess now's a good time if you haven't already.
Confident as I am, I'm not confident enough to put real money. So
But just the value is crazy at this point. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I just think they're going to come out and score 110 points in the next game. And it's a lot.
110? That seems low.
Yeah, I think 110 playoff basketball pace gets a little slower. I think that's a fair.
Is that true?
I don't know.
Or is that something we just say every year now?
Well, now you're fucking making me look like an idiot. Thanks.
Well, yeah, that's like 90% of what I try to do here.
Classic Justin on the pod. I don't know. Like 110, 115, that would be nice. I mean, I'm just saying like a return to form as opposed to like an outrageous explosion that's like beyond the norm. Like, I just think if they get back to scoring the way they normally score, and I will say this, like, people always kind of do that, well, hey, they also weren't that good on defense. I'm like, have you seen the Cavs play transition defense? It helps when they make shots.
Yeah, that is one thing.
It matters, especially if you're missing a bunch of threes and not getting a lot of offensive rebounds.
Yep, that's a very fair point, which if only they had, like, combinations of players they could put together, like two bigs that are good at offensive rebounding. Like, do you think there's maybe three guys on the roster that could be put in combinations of two that would provide them with offensive rebounding and help them get through tough shooting stretches?
Tyronn Lue has no comment at this time. the Lue stuff is getting really frustrating because, like, he can't have a bad game coaching without everyone trying to fire him.
And he had a bad coaching game. He was bad. I don't think he's been great this year, but the way everyone talks about him makes me instinctively want to be like, well, you're being a dipshit about this, so fuck you and Tyronn Lue. Like, I'm riding with him. It's so frustrating because I don't even want to put in, like,
you don't
want to
be part
and,
of
I don't
the
want to put in
chorus.
Yeah, I don't want to put out a measured criticism about him because all of a sudden the response is just going to be so toxic and frustrating that I'm not going to be able to open Twitter.
Yeah, I don't know, man. He didn't have a good game. He's going to have other games where he doesn't have good games. He also led them to a title. Just give it a minute, huh? He was coughing up blood 3 weeks ago. Give it a minute.
Well, you know, the assistant coaches that ran the exact same system and rotation, but against weaker competition, had success. So what does that tell you?
It tells you nothing.
Nothing at all. If you thought for 1 second, oh, well, Larry Drew seemed to have his thumb on the pulse, then you need to not ever have a basketball thought again. You are banned from having opinions on basketball forever. And okay. You are in this. Well, you.
I'm looking at our live listening stats right now.
That Earl Watson is going to be in for that.
Oh my god!
For that Spurs.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that Earl Watson, LaMarcus Aldridge believer. What the hell was that?
You know, I think sometimes people can be a little hard on coaches and like call for them to be fired way too early. Earl Watson was an NBA coach this year, and he thought the Spurs were going to beat the Warriors because LaMarcus Aldridge, who was historically turned into whatever, I can't even think of a like comparison. He just turns into a huge piece of shit on the court.
Yeah, he turns into from honeydew to cantaloupe.
Listen, we're going to circle back to that because I'm mad at you for saying that. but for him to think that, like, just like makes me think like he doesn't know anything about basketball. And I know he knows stuff about basketball, but like, I just don't know how you could have that take because this Spurs team sucks ass.
Yeah, it was frustrating seeing them in the playoffs.
If this Spurs team,
once again, frustrating that the Warriors are on the same side of the bracket as the Spurs and the fraudulent Blazers. Like, it's not come great. On.
But like, honestly, like, if you just put the Spurs, if tomorrow or if the beginning of next season, this exact Spurs roster just suddenly was on the Orlando Magic, how many games would they win?
Jesus.
Like 29?
Yeah. Yeah, around that. The Warriors aren't going to... Let's talk about the weak West. The Warriors aren't going to play a team as good as the Pacers until the conference finals. This is trash.
You're not wrong.
LeBron's going to go out West because now he sees that you can have a weak path to the finals, even in the West. This is terrible. That fraudulent conference...
Okay, but yes, so back to honeydew and cantaloupe. Listen, honeydew is the worst case scenario of like what the worst cantaloupe tastes like. Like, oh, this is sort of just flavorless and watery.
No. The worst case for cantaloupe is hard and flavorless.
Yeah, that's honeydew. Honeydew is always hard and flavorless.
It's not. No, it's not always hard. It's rarely hard.
Title of your sex tape.
You are a child.
Yeah.
And that's why you have the palate of a child.
Honeydew is like, it's even like colored like cantaloupe that hasn't gotten ripe yet. Like, it's just like it's pre-cantaloupe. So it has no flavor. The texture's trash. I can't believe there's so much cantaloupe hate because... Cantaloupe, when it's good, like fresh, is amazing.
No, it's mediocre at best.
The flavor is large. It's got a good juicy texture. Cantaloupe's great, man. People are hating ass haters.
I'm tweeting out a poll, and at the end of the podcast, we will figure it out. Just screw this.
Do it now. Let me know. It's obviously cantaloupe is better. And don't frame it like an asshole.
No. I just put in all caps, settle it, honeydew and cantaloupe. Because that's how confident I am. I believe in the truth. Even though we are in the era of fake news and you are full of shit, I believe in the truth. Cantaloupe is game one, Cavs against the Pacers. Honeydew is game two.
I disagree. Disagree. You're wrong. Well, maybe it's okay. We're going to find out.
If game two Cavs are worse than game one, you're going to come back at me, and at least you'll have that. So now I'm taking care of you.
Oh, man. We're 20 votes in, and it's already 75-25 cantaloupe. 78-22.
Oh, come on.
You idiot.
I've said this before. Our listeners are pieces of shit. Oh, it's at 78%. I'm furious.
Yeah, it's flying up, man.
You guys, This is what happens when you have a podcast whose audience is predominantly American. You all don't know the finer things in life.
Don't you toast tomatoes on sandwiches?
No, you don't toast the tomato. You slice the tomato. You toast the bread. Butter on one side, Miracle Whip on the other.
Ugh.
Then you pepper the tomato, heavily pepper the tomato. Then you put the Kraft Singles cheese, salt the cheese. You can put some bacon in there. You don't have to put bacon in there, only when you're feeling bougie. And then you have a toasted tomato sandwich.
Bougie is not the word I would use to describe what you just explained to me. That is filthy.
I'm trying to drop culinary gems on you, and you are not appreciating it.
Not going to happen, my friend. Not going to happen.
Oh, we're making a comeback. Honeydew's at 29%.
This podcast is really spinning off the rails here.
Yeah. Anything you want to talk about before we give up?
I don't know, man. Like, I just kind of want to, like, I think we could dive further in and, like, talk about what we want to see. But, like, really, we just got to let game two happen. And then...
Yeah, we got to save some content for game two. Because I think some of the larger themes are going to be present throughout. And one thing I will say is I think it's good that the Cavs are being tested now, because if they were able to get away with just their BS and bad habits in the first round, that's going to sting them more so against the Toronto Raptors than it is against the Pacers. Like, I think having a series where you need to actually execute, Indiana is a good team, even though they don't have the same top-end talent. I think it's going to ultimately be a good thing for this team.
For sure. I think that we'll learn really quick how the rest of this series is going to go by, like, the first half of game two.
Probably the first quarter. Like, if LeBron doesn't take a shot in the first quarter, I am going to go to my bomb shelter, basically. Like, at that point, I'm fully watching RJ Barrett videos and coming up with scenarios on how to blow this team up. If they come out sharp, then all of a sudden I'm going to be booking my flight for the championship parade. So game two is going to determine a lot
for Justin's mental health, clearly.
No, I mean, that's already gone out the window, so let's not hold out our hope for that. But
that's fair.
We can maybe hold out hope for a better performance from the Cavs. So, absolutely. Any parting thoughts, Carter?
Yeah, please review, please subscribe, please share, and please vote in our Cantaloupe versus Honeydew poll.
Yes, and tell your friends about the podcast. Word of mouth is the best way to go about it. You guys have been really awesome lately, and just looking at the numbers, it's been some of our best weeks, and the feedback has been really good. I know we both appreciate it. Have you been on iTunes review reading duty? Do you have anything to share there?
I have not, as I'm on my work computer and do not have iTunes on it.
Well, there you go. So we will save that for Wednesdays. We'll have a reaction podcast after Wednesday's game. Maybe we'll get Chops on.
I don't want Chops on unless they win by 30.
No, I think it'd be funny to have Chops on win or loss, because he's going to be at either end of the spectrum. So, as you respond to the – as you vote for Honeydew, let us know if you want Chops on.
Hey, in your iTunes review, tell us whether you prefer Honeydew or Cantaloupe.
Or if you like Chops or hate them. Put that in the iTunes review. Add us at ChaseDownPod. And also, you can send us an email at ChaseDownPod@gmail.com. We will answer all your questions. You may wonder whether or not I'm telling the truth with that, or if I'm just saying that because we haven't sent any on the podcast. But that's because you guys haven't sent any in. So you get nothing and you'll like it. So thanks to our listeners that I just attacked. Thanks, Carter.
Attack them
for
twice tonight.
Yeah. No, more than that.
Good for you.
Definitely.
Also, it did 80-20. Let's go!
Okay, yeah, you're all trash. I hate you. So thanks for being trash. And until next time, go Cavs.
And go Cantaloupe.